Hello and welcome to The Bulletin with UBS on Monocle 24. Each week we'll be hearing from the sharpest minds and freshest thinkers in the world of finance, taking you beyond the numbers and the hype and getting to the heart of the big issues of the day. This week we're talking sustainable and impact investing and hearing highlights from the recent UBS Global Roundtable on the theme that saw group experts present simultaneously here in London, in Zurich and in New York City. This is a sector which, as you'll hear, has doubled in size in recent years. That's why all the UBS business divisions were represented, as the panel discussed everything from group product development to external partnerships to some notable recent achievements across the business. We start the programme with Sergio Ermotti, UBS Group CEO, who was in London to introduce the event. Let's leave it to him to set the scene.
We have been confirmed as the industry group leader in the Dow Jones Sustainability Index for the third time in a row. Is a great coincidence that is happening today. We couldn't have really planned it that way. And it's clearly a tribute to our efforts, our people represented here today and in London and Zurich. And I'm very keen to see this momentum continuing in the future.
Sergio Ermotti also provided an answer to the question, pretty fundamental in this case, what does sustainability really mean?
Probably if each of us, each of you has a different idea, I think that at UBS, we think it's all about creating a long-term value to our stakeholders, because one thing that is in common between our investor clients and employees is that we look for sustainable performance and we want a bank that is stable, secure, and thinks and acts long-term.
So who, in Sergio's view, is most or particularly keen to look at this space?
69% of the ultra high net worth individual clients and millennials are interested or very interested to invest in a socially responsible manner. And 40% of family offices are expecting to increase their allocations towards impact and ESG investments. And we know that almost 80% of asset owners consider ESG management to be one of their top five priorities in terms of when they choose an asset manager.
And a final thought from Sergio on how the whole SI area has moved on in recent times.
I think that it's quite clear that this is no longer a niche anymore. It's an important business driver. And more, is a business driver not because we choose to do that. It's because clients want to do it. That's very important that we continue to highlight this opportunity. We mentioned the fact that we are investing a lot of resources, and that's very important for us to look at the synergies between asset management, wealth management, and the investment bank in playing out at this. And it's very important that one of the other principles that we have in the group is collaboration. It's really helping us to foster this today.
Sergio Ermotti. Next up, we cross the Atlantic to New York City. We'll hear from Michael Baldinger, Head of Sustainable and Impact Investing at UBS Asset Management, in just a moment. But first, this is Rina Kufschmidt-Rojas, Head of Sustainable Finance at UBS and Society.
We actually focus on three approaches. As we mentioned, the exclusion, so which has been for a while in the industry, and social responsible investing, which is meant to screen portfolios and exclude companies that or sectors that don't meet certain criteria. The second pillar that we focus on is in mainstreaming the ESG integration. We focus on securities with a strong ESG characteristic, but also to access what is material actually to those companies based on those key performance indicators. But the approach that we're more excited about is the impact investing, which is going as a new trend since 10 years now. And UBS has been championing that space, and you will see it when we present our solutions later on. And it's actually focusing on investment that with an explicit intention to generate measurable social and environmental impact alongside financial return.
And maybe it's also interesting just to spend a couple minutes what we see in the market developments out there. As we heard in Sergio's opening words, it is extremely fast growing. It doubled over the last 4 or 5 years, and the numbers are really large. We talk about the 22 trillion numbers, so it's really not a niche segment anymore. So many sophisticated, large investors really put serious money to work in a sustainable way. Right now, the market is 2/3 Europe, 1/3 is United States, but understanding that United States is three times the pace growing than Europe. So we would expect in a couple of years the United States will be the lead in this. Asia is still behind, very scattered, but we see very fast growth rate in Japan. And there, obviously, the sovereign wealth funds, GPIF, the largest investor in the world, I think with $1.3 trillion, made it very clear that sustainable criteria will be considered when they make investments. So that's really game changing in Japan. And obviously, why do we see that growth, right? So why is that actually happening? And what we see is really that investors, they're looking for new risk return kind of enhancements. You know, where are the drivers coming from? What are the risks? How can we mitigate this? So this is really something which you're looking at, and ESG, or what we do in sustainable, is excellent to do that. Then a very important point is also stakeholder management. You know, nowadays you really have a total different kind of audience as a stakeholder. You know, employees of a pension fund say, well, I know what is actually happening with my money, not just returns, but what else? What is the impact on society and all those things that has been considered? But the most important point, I think, is really to better understand the inner workings of a company. So understanding where the risks are coming from, how do they manage supply chains, where the innovations drive, how do they retain and attract talent. So these are all great things for transparency, and this is something which you see out there. And the power of transparency really helps you to make a better informed investment decision. So these are all different factors. There are many more to reasoning why we see this fast growth in this sector.
Rina Kufischmidt-Rojas and Michael Baudinger. What are some of the innovative solutions for a diverse client base across the business? On the wealth management side, first of all, Rina Kufischmidt-Rojas again.
We plan actually to update our sustainable investing mandates beginning of the 2018 in a great collaboration between asset management, wealth management, but also external partners. And it will have a range of different sustainable invested asset class, including ESG momentum equities and high ESG rated equities and also green bonds. But also, in line with our commitment to the $5 billion that we did this year at Davos, we have raised $325 million for the RISE Fund, the world's largest impact investing fund with a cap of $2 billion. UBS has launched a number also of thematic funds aligned with the United Nations Sustainable Development Goals and have raised a total of $1 billion so far. That includes the UBS Oncology Fund that focuses on investment in innovative cancer strategies, the Rethink Impact here in the US, a fund investing in gender-diverse tech companies, and also Loans for Growth Impact Investing Fund that provides capital to high-growth SMEs in emerging and frontier markets.
Also presenting in New York City was Michael Neskler, Head of Structured Solutions Americas for UBS Investment Bank. He talks more about the investment bank position.
From our side, we will be launching a partnership with the UBS Optimus Foundation to create products that align with the SDGs to actually cater for clients that are looking for impact and sustainable investments. These products will be in the space of passive products, but they will be going into products such as insurance and retirement. The key thing around these products is that a part of the revenues, not only the theme itself will be aligned with the SDGs, but the part of the revenues, a fixed percentage of the revenues, will be donated through Optimus Foundation to these causes that the products represent. And this is an entirely new and interesting and impactful endeavor from the investment bank.
And back to Michael Baudinger once again for more on the asset management side.
In asset management in the institutional space, my mandate is very simple, kind of, to create a world-class SI offering across asset classes, active and passive. And at the same time, also make sure we integrate those sustainability criteria in existing products across everything we do. And what helps me or the team to do this is really that we can really, when we join, there's a long history and experience in this business, over 20 years in certain areas within asset management. And things which I didn't even know before I joined was, for example, we are the largest ETF provider in Europe already. We have a $54 billion green real estate, which really sophisticated in how to integrate ESG, which might make them the largest and also most sophisticated player in real estate. We run the largest active equity sustainable mandate in the world. So there's already a lot of stuff there which we have. But more importantly for us is maybe not just the product side, but also when we look to clients and see what's going on, most clients have different requirements and needs when it comes to sustainable investing, particularly since it's a new innovative area, which we have to find. So many times the product doesn't exist off the shelf. So what we work on is really to create an SI platform, an SI engine, which you also can use across divisions with wealth management and investment bank, so that we really can plug and play with clients. So clients want to reduce carbon risk. Clients want to make sure the portfolio is gender diverse. and all those different topics you can play then. So our job is really to create a toolbox for our clients where they really can tap in, take one of the tools out, and really has the power to define what impact on society, for example, next to attractive returns the clients want to do. And that is really, we believe, a real game changer in the industry. And we're working very hard to put really resources into this. And that we will be done by end of next year, I believe, with this. And that is, I think, really something new in the industry to show for.
What about the position as regards the more institutional investors? How would Chris Greenwald, Head of Sustainable Investing at UBS Asset Management, describe this dynamic?
I think we just see an increase in interest from larger institutional clients to come up with solutions that can meet both their financial and their sustainability objectives simultaneously. And that requires the sophistication that only a global asset manager of UBS's scale can provide. So to give you just one, you know, specific name, we partnered with Nest here in the UK, who needed to incorporate climate change risk into their passive equity allocation. And so we worked with them for the better part of a year to come up with a proprietary method for being able to reweight the portfolio in favor of companies that are better prepared for a 2-degree carbon reduction scenario in the future and underweight companies that are at higher risk for climate change, at the same time as maintaining a relatively tight tracking error, which was very important for them. And so this has provided a solution not only for the client, but it also allowed us to develop a methodology and fund that we can offer to a wider range of pension funds who have similar types of concerns and needs. So I think we just see an increasing level of sophistication in terms of what institutional clients are looking for when it comes to combining sustainability and financial resources. And that's really where we see the opportunity to collaborate with clients to come up with customized solutions that can really fill gaps that exist in the responsible investment market that may not have been filled by the smaller niche players that we've seen really over the past 10 or 15 years up to now.
Chris Greenwald. Still to come on the Bulletin with UBS, we'll cross to Zurich for more from the panellists there, and we'll catch up with another of the experts in New York to look back at the event. Simon Smiles, UBS CIO for Ultra High Net Worth, joined the roundtable from his base in Zurich. Here he expands on the picture on the wealth management side.
I think for wealth management clients, it's an array of different approaches. There's been a significantly growing interest and demand in impact investing. So market returns, but also having an explicit and deliberate and verifiable positive impact on society. But in addition to that, there's interest in general screening of portfolios. We have around $2 billion of assets in our current sustainable investing mandate, which explicitly tries to screen for better rated companies and better rated funds and to exclude worse rated companies and worse rated funds. There's a range of clients who are interested in ESG and SRI thematics, so public equity themes linked to ESG characteristics. And then more broadly, our analysts are inherently, implicitly and often explicitly taking into account relevant ESG criteria and factors when they're actually recommending their single bond and equity recommendations. So it's not a one-size-fits-all when it comes to the wealth management client base. Very different approaches to this space. Hence, as the largest wealth manager currently in the world, we're deliberately trying to provide a range of different approaches to the sustainable investing space.
Alongside Simon in Zurich was another regular on this program, UBS Global Chief Investment Officer Mark Haefeli. He had this to add from the wealth management perspective.
I guess on the wealth management side, I do think we have a differentiated offering. We have a very well established and built out philanthropic side of things for clients whose interests go in that bucket. We help network clients globally on a variety of platforms around their interests in sustainable or philanthropic or impact. And then we have, I think, demonstrated some really unique offerings on the impact side, including the Oncology Impact Fund, the largest healthcare impact fund ever to be launched.
Finally, on the program, Stephen Friedman, Head of Sustainable Investing, UBS Wealth Management Americas, was also on the panel in New York City. I caught up with him after the roundtable. As our experts have been explaining, it was a global meeting, and this is undoubtedly a globally critical theme. There's been a sharp increase in resources across that international level too, across the UBS group. As we've heard already, it's a sector that's growing ever more important. Is this amongst particular demographics? I asked Stephen Friedman this, like the millennial group, or is this across the board?
We see that both in terms of survey evidence that highlights that there's a higher preference for sustainable investing among millennials. Of course, at the moment, the millennial generation is not the one that holds the wealth. But when we look at this really from a longer-term business perspective, it's clear to us that because millennials are going to be accumulating wealth and in some cases are going to be inheriting wealth from their parents, it's going to be increasingly important to be able to deliver these types of solutions. And it's very clear that just as we can follow the likely path of wealth, intergenerational wealth transfer, people on the receiving end of that wealth transfer do tend to care a lot more about sustainability than those that own their wealth today. And therefore, it's important for financial firms to be active today in becoming market leaders so that they can succeed when this wave becomes all the more dominant.
Now, we've heard about the ESG, environmental, social and governance perspectives. I asked Stephen Friedman to explain a bit more about how those three strands work in practical terms and how systematically thinking about those themes can deliver sustainable and impactful investments.
The term ESG really has become one of the most prevalent terms in this sustainable investing space, so environmental, social and governance aspects. And if you go back to the fundamental framework that the UBS Chief Investment Office developed back in 2015, you have these three pillars of exclusion, integration, and impact investing. And ESG really is what characterizes this integration pillar, right? So the pillar that essentially has a variety of different investment strategies that seek to incorporate that sort of ESG information into the investment process. And that's really where I think increasingly you're seeing large parts of the solutions set incorporate that type of thinking. The point being here that there is very likely to be value in non-financial information from the environmental, social, and governance perspective that thoughtful investors might want to incorporate, either because it allows them to be more holistic in understanding the companies and other issuers they invest in, or because perhaps this helps to extend somewhat their time horizon, or perhaps because it can be viewed as an interesting risk management tool that allows them to somehow trim some of the more severe tail risk events that can show up in portfolios.
And that's Stephen Friedman, bringing us to the end of this 155th edition of The Bulletin with UBS, setting the agenda in the fast-moving world of finance each week here on Monocle 24. Listen again and find out more at the website or catch up via your preferred podcast platform. The Bulletin with UBS on Monocle 24.